Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. We continue our look at the five ways we participate in ministry. This week we look at how we participate by our presence. Presence means being there, and it's more than just showing up. Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, exhorts the Colossians to be a part of the body of Christ. We are not called into isolation, but community. So grab your Bible, turn it to Colossians chapter 3, and join us as we look at how we participate in ministry by our presence. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians chapter 3. We are continuing in our sermon series looking at the five promises that we make as members of the United Methodist Church. And you find those promises on page 38 of the hymnal. Page 38 is the baptismal covenant. We use the baptismal covenant as the covenant that we make with the church when we join it to become a member. And on page 38, under where it says reception into the local congregation, this is the question that we are presented. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, and your witness? And we say, I will. And witness was added in 2008 by means of the General Conference. So we're looking at these five things: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And today we're going to look at what it means to participate in ministry by our presence. Just being there. Just showing up by our presence. So let us look at the word of the Lord for us this morning. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This message, I'm not going to lie to you, this message is not a message that most preachers like to give. Why? Because for the most part, it's not for the people sitting in the pews. It really isn't. If anything, this message is for the people who are not here. But as we can't reach them today, I'm going to preach it to you. But maybe this message is for you. Because it's not just about being here in worship. It is about being here in worship, but it's also about being present in ministry. There are many ministries that this church undertakes. There are a lot of things that happen in this church. Ways that we reach out into the community in love. Ways that we support one another. Ministries that edify from within and without. Ministries that reach out to the community. Ministries that support world missions. Are we all present in those? If we were to think about what the church should look like or what the church has looked like, oftentimes we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see a picture of the very early Christian church, in the very beginning of the church. Verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." They continued steadfastly. They gathered together as one to hear the teaching of the apostles, to gather together in fellowship, to break bread together, to share in that communal meal, and to pray together. And it sounds an awful lot like our church today. We gather together in fellowship. We hear a message taught. And we gather together, we break bread together. We have that communion meal once a month. And we pray together. We lift up our prayers. We lifted up our prayers this morning. We share our prayers, our concerns with each other, and our joys, all to the praise of God. And verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." There are miracles that occur even today. Miracles of God, if we take the time to look around us and see what God is doing among us all the time. I stand before you today. I am a miracle. I am a miracle. I was on a path of destruction. I was destined for death. I probably wouldn't have lasted another year or two the way I was going with my drug and alcohol use. But God reached down and He rescued me. He rescued me, put me on a different path, saved my life. And not just my life, my very soul. It's a miracle. If you want to see a miracle, go into a 12-step program. On any given night, you will look around the room and every person sitting there is a miracle because they were supposed to die and yet they were alive and have found a new life without drugs and alcohol. That's a miracle. It really is. You can see miracles all around us. Verse 44 says, "All that believed were together and had all things in common." Everybody shared everything. We still do this. We have potluck dinners where we come and everybody brings something and we share. We share in a meal. We share things together. "They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men and as every man had need." Anyone who had need, their needs were cared for by the body. Everybody in the church, nobody had any needs because everything was taken care of by the people in the church. "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Every day they worshiped in the temple. They would worship in the temple every day, and every night they would go and they would break bread in someone's house and they would share. They would be in community together. They would be together. And it says, gladness and singleness of heart. They were all doing it for the same purpose, to worship God. To worship God. And in fact, verse 47 starts that, what was that? Gladness and singleness of heart? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their church daily such as would be saved. It's very important. It doesn't say that they added to their numbers, but that the Lord added to their numbers daily. Daily, they had new people joining their ranks every single day. Why? Well, because of all the things we just mentioned that they did. They gathered together. They listened to the teaching. They broke bread together. They stayed in fellowship with one another. We're not called to be individual Christians. We're not called to be in isolation. But we're called to be one body. We're going to see that in Paul's writing right now. Verse 12. Of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Okay, some old words. Maybe we need a little explanation. But he starts by saying, put on, put on. Clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves. It's like, you know, when you dress yourself in the morning and you go out into the world sees you by what you put on. So if you put on a burlap sack, they're going to see somebody in a burlap sack. And if you put on a suit and a tie or a dress, that's what they see. And, you know, we always say you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but we really do, don't we? I mean, when you see somebody and the way that they're dressed, you in your mind, you automatically make that judgment. So what are we presenting to the world by the way that we dress? Paul says, dress yourselves in mercy and kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering. Long-suffering, which is an old word which means patience. Patience. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Preached a message about forgiveness at the Wednesday night worship a few weeks ago. And we talked about the passage in Matthew where Jesus told this parable of a king. He forgave a debt a man couldn't repay. 10,000 bags of gold. 10,000 bags of gold. Millions of dollars that he couldn't repay. And the king forgave him. He said, you don't owe me anything. So the man went out into the street and he found somebody who owed him $10. And he grabbed him and he says, pay me back what you owe me. And the guy said, I can't pay you back right now, but if you're patient with me, I will pay back everything. But he didn't. He didn't. He grabbed the man, he had him thrown into prison until he could pay back the money that he owed him. Well, the king heard about this, and he brought this servant back to him, and he says, I forgave you 10,000 bags of gold, and you couldn't forgive somebody else $10? What did he do? He took that man, and he put him in prison until he could pay back every penny, every penny. God has forgiven us much. If we look into our hearts and search our hearts, we know that God has forgiven us a great deal. So when we hold on to that unforgiveness and we refuse to forgive somebody who has wronged us, we're just like that servant who wouldn't forgive a $10 debt, but he had been forgiven millions. So he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive as you've been forgiven. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In the King James, the word that is translated charity is agape. Agape is that Greek word which means a perfect, giving, sacrificial love. There's no other place in all of literature where the Greek word agape appears except in the book, the Bible. It's the only place where the Greek word agape exists. So they didn't know how to translate it. And they said, well, if you look at the way agape is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, love is patient, love is kind, love forbears all things, forgives all things. Well, they said that agape, it sounds like a giving, sacrificial love. And to them, that meant charity. Charity. Giving and expecting nothing in return. We translate this word to mean love. So, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Jesus said that if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, then all the other commandments fall into place. You don't have to think about the law. If you just love God and love your neighbor, that's all. That's all it takes. And then everything else will happen naturally. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He says you are called to one body. You're not called to be individual people out in the world. There are times, yes, when you are an individual out in the world, but you are called in the one body of Christ to gather together, to support each other, to strengthen each other, to fill each other, to love each other. That's how we work as a body. That's how we do what we do. And we could do so much more when we are together, when we are present with each other. You're called in one body. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We sing songs. We sing hymns. This morning we sang a hymn, the very beginning of a hymn. A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God. That song was written almost 500 years ago. And it was written in German by Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation movement that occurred. You know, we hear those words today and they still speak to our hearts. They still speak to us. We have many words which declare our love for God and all the things that He is for us. And when we sing those songs, it lifts us up. We sing the songs together and our voices knit together a tapestry of love for God. It's amazing. He says, whatever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, to God and the Father by Him. And I have to ask this question, is everything that you do in the name of Jesus? And if I have to be honest, if I have to be transparent, I have to admit, no, everything that I do is not in the name of Jesus. According to Paul, it should be. Everything that I do should be in the name of Jesus. Well, we see in this reading why it's important to be together, to be present in ministry. So I look at four reasons why it's important to participate in ministry by our presence. That's the wording that our hymnal gives us. Participate in the ministries of the local church by your presence. How do you participate in ministry by your presence? Well, number one, participating in ministry by our presence is a faithful witness. Is a faithful witness. One of the greatest messages I ever heard by a pastor is by the name of Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin preached a sermon one time called The Voice of the Empty Seat. What does the empty seat say? What does the empty seat say? If someone were to walk in and see the empty seat, what does the empty seat say to that person? It says, there could be somebody sitting here. There should be somebody sitting here, but that person is not here. That person is somewhere else. That person chose something else over being here today. That's the voice of the empty seat. So being present is a faithful witness. You now that seat is no longer empty. Now that seat says, here is someone who chose to be here instead of someplace else. Chose to be here. It's a faithful witness. Number two, it helps to connect us to each other. It helps to connect us to each other. We are one body. We are one body. We are one family, one faith community. We gather together to strengthen each other, to teach each other, to reach out to each other, to lift each other up. When we hurt, we hug and we cry with each other. We are a family, not just a gathering of people, but a family of faith believers. It connects us to each other. You know, I think about Jesus' words when in the book of John, what we read today, he said, you know, he said, I am the door. The sheep enter by me. And he talked a lot about this imagery of sheep. And he said, he says in verse 11, which we didn't read, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know my voice. They know my voice and they come to me. Well, I think about that image of sheep, and we are referred to often as a flock. Even the name or the title of pastor, really it comes from the word pasture, which makes me the shepherd, you know, of the flock that God has entrusted to me. As a flock, when you are all gathered together, when all the sheep are gathered together in one body, the wolf will circle around and he'll wait. He waits until one lone sheep wanders away from the flock, because that one's easy to get. The wolf is always out there circling and waiting. And that's why we're called to be in community, because we are strong together. And when we wander from the flock, we become weak. We become vulnerable. So it helps to connect us to each other. Third, it helps to connect us to God. Being present in ministry helps to connect us to God. We read the Word of God together. We listen to what God has to say to us. God speaks to us. He speaks to us in the words of others. When people come and they say, you know, I think that this community has this need, and we as a church should be filling that need. So let's do it. And people gather together and they go out into ministry and they serve the community. Well, that's God talking to us. That's God talking directly to us. When we gather together, when we are present in ministry, it helps to connect us to God. I think about Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon had one member who stopped coming for several months. And he went to visit that one member, and it was winter time, and the man had had a fire going on in his fireplace. Charles Spurgeon said to him, he says, I haven't seen you in worship in several months. And the man said to him, well, I've been a member of that church for many years. I've heard probably every message you have ever preached. I've heard some of them a couple of times. So I really don't think I need to be there. And Charles Spurgeon sort of nodded. He walked over to the hearth and he took the tongs and he picked up an ember out of the fire. It was glowing, red hot. And he placed it on the hearth and walked away. And within a couple of minutes, that ember that was red hot turned black and cold. Spurgeon said, that's you. That's you. He says, as long as you are in the flames of the church, you burn hot. But as soon as you remove yourself from the fire, you turn cold. You turn cold. You go out. So being present in ministry helps to connect us to God. It keeps us in that fire, keeps us burning hot, keeps us glowing. And finally, we honor the Sabbath, not in a legalistic way, not in a way that we have to come to church. Church shouldn't be something that you have to come to. In fact, I don't like to think of it as coming to church. I like to think of it as coming to God. Coming to worship, worshiping God, going to worship, you know? It's not a legalistic way. Like I said, if you love God, if we love God with all our heart and we love our neighbor as ourselves, then this becomes the place we want to be. You know, we work throughout the week. Monday morning, when I'm at work, I can't wait to get back to Sunday. I can't wait to get back here. You know, I have this thing on my computer that automatically pops up on Wednesdays. It's this sound that goes, "Uh-oh, guess what day it is?" You know, because I like hump day. What can I say? It's the middle of the week. It's time to start cruising down. But I always think of it as it's one more day closer to Sunday. I'm almost there. You know, I can't wait to be in worship. I can't wait to be in the presence of my friends and family and to worship God corporately, to lift up the name and to draw on other people's strength. So like I said at the beginning of this message, it might not be for you. It might not be for the people who are here. That's why it's such a difficult message to preach, because really the message is for the church member who's not here. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the importance of just showing up. Sometimes that's the best thing we can do, to be in community together, to be the one body of Christ, not sitting at home in isolation. That's where the enemy wants us. It's easy for the wolf to pick off the sheep who has strayed from the flock. So I encourage you, make it a priority to be in worship, to plug into the body of Christ, to participate in the ministry of the church by your presence, and let us silence the voice of the empty seat. Let us pray. Oh God, you have brought us here together in this one place for one purpose, to be your people. We gather with intention to be a faithful witness to this community and to the world, to demonstrate our presence, by our presence, the love we have for you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep our hearts burning hot for you, and draw us to this place that we may, as one body, go forth into the world to share the gospel of Christ to all the world. May we fully participate in the ministry of this church by our presence. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.